This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Rick Larson, Wing Vice Commander of the Civil Air Patrol. And we were talking, you know, Rick, I think earlier that the Civil Air Patrol is involved in many things as far as emergency, searching for people and documenting flood and storm damage and that. But we were also talking going back, we both go back a few years to when, you know, civil defense was a term that was, you know, most people nowadays don't know what civil defense office management in South Dakota would be.
Well, there's a lot of different terms that go with today's modern lexicon, I guess, that would create a civil defense type thought process. Emergency management is a practice of both crisis response and consequence management. You've got homeland defense, you've got homeland security, you've got search and rescue, you've got domestic preparedness. All of those factor into the bigger practice of being ready should a disaster strike.
Well, you're a first responder.
Correct.
And you work with many of the, you know, we think of firemen and policemen as first responders, but you work with a lot of other people. I mean, when the plane crashes, with law enforcement. But we go back to days of Joe Vanderloo,
correct?
For example. And
correct.
What were some of the other names of the people that were
Monty
standing
up? Horn was in the mix for many years as a Minnehaha County emergency manager. And then the folks out in Pierre working with what was then the Division of Emergency Management, now the Office of Emergency Management, headed up by Christy Terman and Tina Tietze out there in Pierre. And locally, Regan Smith, Tom Welch, Lindy Young, Harold Timmerman down in Lincoln County. Part of preparedness is knowing the players and then practicing your trade, working together, exercising, and knowing each other's capabilities.
I mention that because we're standing on their shoulders for the work that they've done over the last 50 years.
Correct.
Now, you mentioned Homeland Security. What is Homeland Security in South Dakota? We think of that as mainly a border type of thing.
Well, one wouldn't immediately think of terrorism being an immediate threat in South Dakota. But let's think about infrastructure now. We've got two major interstate highways that form the north, south, east, west axis in the northern tier of states, I-29 and I-90, right here in Sioux Falls. Major air hubs like Joe Foss Field, Sioux Falls Regional Airport. We've got a major rail hub here. We've got major agricultural manufacturing facilities. We've got critical infrastructure like the Owyhee Dam, Lewis and Clark area down there, and certainly a lot of very critical infrastructure, not to mention probably what could be said to be right behind the Statue of Liberty as the number two national monument in our state. So there's plenty of commerce that flows through our area, whether that's something that's involved with agro-terrorism, narco-terrorism, meaning the drug trade. We've seen that we're on the meth highway, according to Sheriff Milstead and his great work with the drug task forces. So there's things to be concerned about, things to be watched. There's committees and organizations that do exactly that in our state.
Well, even the government, there's radioactive weapons that probably go down the interstate that we're not aware of. There's back in the 70s, I actually did a news story, and we documented and broke the story that Sioux Falls was actually a target of the Russian ICBMs back during the Cold War. Mainly, I asked a lot of politicians, I asked a lot of military, why was Sioux Falls a target for ICBMs? And it wasn't that we had, well, you know, there was missiles, I guess you might say, not too far from Sioux Falls. But we were the major telecommunications trunk line to five states out of, you know, there would be Omaha, then Sioux Falls, but to go to the air base in Rapid City to all of the missile areas, that telecommunications line back then, that was before the internet, was of a prime military importance. Our big telecommunications building that was always the tallest building in Sioux Falls down there used to have a jet engine for an emergency generator.
Sure, emergency power unit. Well, when you consider that the world's most powerful command center sits 3 hours from here down at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, there's no question that Sioux Falls continues to play a role in national defense.
Well, getting back to, you know, we've had a lot of storm-related preparations and that type of thing. And in the palm of your hand now with your smartphone, you've got the radar. You know, there was actually a funnel cloud near the airport. You had that instantaneously. When that happened a couple weeks ago, even when the Weather Bureau wasn't really saying that there was a funnel cloud near Sioux Falls, you knew about it. There is a group that really do know what's happening right now before just about anybody else.
Social media has really changed the landscape of getting information out, both to the positive and the negative, I might add, John. But it's brought a new dimension to preparedness. I think a new awareness of why we need to be ready and take care of ourselves for up to 3-4 days at a time. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, says, hey, take care of yourself. Take care of your own responsibilities within your family and, you know, make a plan and get a kit and be ready to sustain your own operations for up to 3 days.
Well, the Civil Air Patrol, now you have a plane. Tell us about the Civil Air Patrol aspect of all of this preparation, because somebody goes missing. Or a plane goes down, this happens more often than people think.
It does, and serving a wide area, we're part of South Dakota Wing of Civil Air Patrol is part of a north central region of CAP, and thusly we're vulnerable to missions in Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, and we've flown missions in all those states before. Most recently, we've been involved with damage assessments due to flooding on the Rock River, the Big Sioux River, the tributaries that surround those areas as well. And what that does is allow emergency management agencies to package that into a disaster assistance request. It goes to state government and then onto a potential presidential declaration package that would be submitted by state governments in order to garner federal assistance.
Well, you're part of the Air Guard. And the Air Guard and Civil Air Patrol work together pretty close, too.
Not so much part of the Air Guard, but General Tim Reich, who is the Adjutant General of the state, as a cabinet-level officer, would have oversight for Civil Air Patrol and does support our organization, for which we are extremely thankful. We do work with the United States Air Force as the official auxiliary of the Air Force, and that prepares other Air Guard and Air Force organizations to be ready for a homeland defense mission, the details of which I won't get into at this point, but they're fairly complex, that's why. And the other portion of it is, as a private corporation, a congressionally chartered private corporation, of which there's very few, we do assist the state in endeavors like animal tracking for South Dakota State University and School of Mines projects that definitely impact our community, state, and nation.
Well, we had a endangered missing advisory come over the fax machine, and I almost smile when I say the fax machine.
Yeah, sounds pretty old school.
There was a time when fax machines were cutting edge for police departments to actually get a photo picture of a person. You know, they used to have those old drum machines that would send a photo, you know, that type of thing back in those days. We remember teletypes.
Oh, yeah, we do. I think I have some scars on my finger from replacing the ribbons in them back in the day. But, yeah, teletypes played a role both in the military and in here in the broadcasting domain. But, yeah, we've been involved with some of these missing people of all ages, and time factor is very critical. We can get an airplane in the air within an hour of getting that call. So, you know, this time of year, the weather doesn't really play a factor as much as it would in the winter. I can remember going out looking for some lost juvenile girls that were out in a minivan and during a blizzard. The intensity of that kind of a search is just unbelievable, and that's where training and capabilities really come together to help provide that very critical response.
Well, let's talk about the infrastructure a little bit of Civil Air Patrol. How many people like you are with Civil Air Patrol, like in Sioux Falls? And it's a network across the state.
It is a network. It's called a wing, much like a fighter wing or an airlift wing. Our wing, headed by Colonel John Seaton of Sioux Falls, and myself as vice commander, has over 300 people in it in six different squadrons across the state. And we have six airplanes at any given time. We have ground team members, a communications network, and it is a network of squadrons. That's the local organization. Here in Sioux Falls, anywhere between 50 and 80 members of that. Age ranges from 12 to 99.
Do you fly yourself?
I do fly myself, and I started flying in Civil Air Patrol as a youth member, as a cadet, at age 12 up in Fargo.
How do you get to be a Civil Air Patrol cadet?
How you get to be a Civil Air Patrol cadet is going to one of the squadron meetings, and you can locate a squadron online at sdcap.org. South Dakota Civil Air Patrol, as we said, has the organization statewide to support that, most of which are composite squadrons, meaning there's adult members and cadet members. Now, adult members in CAP don't exist because there's cadet members, but there are adult members that do work with the cadets. So if you think of us as a volunteer fire department of the sky that happens to have an explorer post, that would be most correct.
Well, I think some people would remember when that famous golfer, I can't think of his name, his jet.
Payne Stewart.
Yes, when he crashed in South Dakota. I imagine a lot of the Civil Air Patrol was either following or documenting and establishing where it crashed and that type of thing.
Following that, we had an organization in Aberdeen at the time that was able to take some action in regards to that situation where Governor Janklow, the late Governor Janklow, was on scene, large and in charge as usual, so took care of that aspect. But lately, again, many of our efforts has been in the vein of damage assessment and still with the traditional emergency services cadet program and aerospace education missions.
How soon after the Washington Springs tornado were you actually observing it from the air?
A day afterwards, we had aircraft in the air that were looking at that scouring. It's very dramatic, the photos that are available online and that we uploaded to the FEMA website for visibility. And that really it's a blessing because elected officials and governmental agencies can then immediately swoop into action and understand the scope of the damage.
Well, our senators and representatives as a delegation are going to the president now for authorization for a declaration of federal funds, and that those photos are what they're basing everything on.
Very, very critical, and on-the-ground reports and then door-to-door estimation of damage that it would take to restore these communities. In a small state like South Dakota with arguably a minimal tax base, it's very critical that we get these funds back to, fuel the engine that is the small town economy. So that's where our goodness comes from. Again, on membership, to be a Civil Air Patrol member, you don't have to have served in the military. There is no military commitment. It just happens to be a civilian auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. And thusly, we have a lot of their time-honored traditions and a lot of their scope of structure that guides our mission execution as well.
Probably a lot of you are weather spotters and emergency personnel as far as being first responders to many things. What scrambles your airplanes?
Well, what scrambles our airplanes is a request from an agency for assistance, like this damage assessment, like the missing persons advisories that go out, and then the state would request our assistance, or a missing aircraft, an overdue aircraft, things of this nature that make it very critical. Also, we have more, as I said, the more mundane missions that are preset, training missions. I'll tell you about a situation we did with aircraft. Air traffic control tracking. We did a scientific study along with many other organizations up around the Buffalo Ridge wind farms up there to really study the impact of flying in and around wind farms. So a lot of different things we get involved with.
Yeah, it's affecting the flying fowl up there with those wind farms even.
It's affecting a lot of different things, radar signatures and things of that nature that are a little more sensitive.
Amber alerts, you get, you're probably involved with those.
We can be, given the scope of what law enforcement needs for our request. Of course, we're limited to the posse comitatus,
Do you do infrared sensing when you fly?
Sometimes we can have a capability to do that. We do some hyperspectral imaging, and that's a whole nother show, and it gets pretty geeky, but basically every object has a light signature, and what it can return is sometimes indicating a target, a thing of interest that we can work with.
So if you're a fan of Star Trek, the Civil Air Patrol would be kind of fun.
It is, and even down to our latest aircraft, the Cessna 182T NAV-3, that talks to you, that is computer programmable, that flies itself a lot of the time, and it's really, don't let the small size of the aircraft fool you. It's a technologically advanced aircraft. And with over 550 aircraft in the nation, Civil Air Patrol is the world's largest small airplane air force.
Civil Air Patrol, are you talking about maybe drones?
We're already looking into some of that technology. You know, nothing replaces human eyes in the sky. We can fly slow. We can fly very cost-effectively as well. in a very safe manner with the ongoing training that our citizen volunteers give us time for. So drones just being looked at as an additive thing, not as a major mission for Civil Air Patrol.
Speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Rick Larson, Ring Vice Commander, Civil Air Patrol here in Sioux Falls. Give us some of your, you know, you spend a lot of hours doing this.
Correct.
What are some of the things that made it all, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, too, but what are some of the things that, you know, if you were to sit down and really make all of this effort and time and work that you do really worthwhile?
Well, I'll tell you what, starting as a cadet back in 76 up in North Dakota and being all over the tri-states, having an opportunity to fly over every inch of the tri-states here and much of Iowa and Nebraska, I can tell you that's a huge thing. That was just a personal thing that I really enjoy as well. But meeting the people, seeing the volunteers from all walks of life, helping a family bring closure to a missing person situation, finding a missing aircraft, or providing the state with timely situational awareness during the blizzard of last October that so greatly affected West River cattle operations, and providing that critical information to emergency planners and responders to help bring resources in a time of need is very fulfilling as a member of Civil Air Patrol.
Flying out of Sioux Falls, how far do you fly?
Well, we can fly throughout the nation. It's just a matter of getting gas about every 3 hours. So wherever the need is, you know, we can fly the airplane there. But typically it's within a 3, 4, or 5 state area, depending on where the mission is. And we've not only gone to assist other wings as far as Michigan, but we've also had other resources come in and assist us from outlying states as well.
I think flying in the wintertime, though, is more iffy than, you know.
Negative Ghost Rider. No, flying in the winter is really great on a bright, sunny day when it's ice cold out. And boy, the airplane likes to fly then. It jumps off the runway and likes that cold, dense air and really gets some good performance out of the aircraft at that point.
But ground traffic might be at a standstill, and that's why you're up in the air.
Well, typically, once everything clears out, that's another mission that we've done before, too, is spot what we call snowbirds, not the kind that go to Arizona like my parents have, but the kind that get stuck out on the interstate when maybe they shouldn't be there. But we're there to save lives and pass that word to the highway patrol. And all our airplanes are linked, by the way, in this state, right to the state radio dispatch center in Pierre, and we can talk directly to them on the ground. We also have a device now that can track our airplanes every 2 minutes that we can see in real time as incident commanders in Civil Air Patrol.
Have you ever had to rescue a Civil Air Patrol?
No, not when we become the victim, there's a bigger problem, but no, have not had to.
Got good maintenance on your equipment.
Very good maintenance. That's all planned out, and it's all FAA overseen and doesn't differ from any of the federal aviation regulations that affect general aviation aircraft elsewhere.
Well, all emergency management really goes all the way up to then to the governor. Basically,
it does. The saying is all disasters are local. So it starts with you and me. It goes to our city, our county, our state, and then goes up to the federal level, regional level, then federal level. And there's checks and balances along the way. And all we know is semper vigilans is the Civil Air Patrol motto. And that means always vigilant.
What does it take to open the war room, I guess you might say, in Minnehaha County?
Well, as far as Minnehaha County, there is a joint emergency operations center with Lincoln County and City of Sioux Falls and Minnehaha County. Something that would trigger an activation of an emergency operations center may be a minor thing. It may be a major thing. It could be a tornado hitting. It could be a flash flood. It could be an aircraft incident. It depends on the neat thing about the incident command system that's used universally is you don't have to have everyone or no one. You can scale that and only have the people in there that need to be in there to assist in the situational awareness, decision support, and decision making in the process. In Civil Air Patrol, we open up operations only after we are requested to be utilized in any response.
Well, the strategic room, I guess, is not a war room, I guess, but the
EOC,
the strategy room, yeah,
yep.
In Pierre. Now that's fairly recent. That's within fairly recent times, isn't it?
Well, there's always been a function of the Emergency Operations Center. Now, fit, form, and factor have varied over the years, and there's an incredible State Emergency Operations Center now out in Pierre at the Law Enforcement Center. So a lot of good things going on, and every time that there's a disaster response, a search and rescue, or a training event, lessons learned are forwarded, are reviewed, and process improvement is in place.
Does the Highway Patrol still have airplanes in the sky?
Highway Patrol does have aircraft, both fixed wing and rotary.
So there's a lot of coordination between you. And
there
is. That's the main thing. The one thing, Rick, I want to get into is basically people have sat down and done contingency plans for just about any disaster. If an airliner was to crash at the Sioux Falls Airport, there's a plan for that.
There is a plan for that, and that's owned by the Sioux Falls Regional Airport. It's kind of like saying there's an app for that. Well, there's apps for that, too, but it's an all-hazards approach, John, that takes into account, you know, everything from foot-and-mouth disease crossing the border in cattle trucks to that airliner crash like we saw down in Sioux City, those many years ago with United 232. Search and rescue from the minor to the major, the whole compendium of threat response there is looked at.
What about drugs?
Civil Air Patrol has been involved in a very aggressive counter-drug program, both from the air, assisting law enforcement, again, to the limits of that posse comitatus limitation. And then actively on the use side with our drug demand program, drug demand reduction program, that really is a diversion program that allows youth to focus on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You've heard of STEM before, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I both remember, I think, a DC-9 landed in South Dakota full of drugs one time?
Yes, out West River. That was a DC-6, I think it was, out in the middle, and prop job out in the middle of western South Dakota.
And what about the future of the Civil Air Patrol? We talked a little bit about drones, maybe, but we're becoming more of a metropolis, you might say, in South Dakota and with the county and the surrounding communities. And, of course, social media, we get the... Everybody has a radar in the palm of their hand again now.
Everyone's a reporter. Everyone's a weather person. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a possible source of situational awareness. Yeah, we're aware of that. We have some pretty awesome public affairs folks, both internal and external, that manage information for us during exercises and responses, and we monitor those things as well. I think the future is bright for CAP. It's been fairly timeless ever since former New York City Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia formed it along with a guy named Gil Rob Wilson, December 1st of 1941. Bad week for America that week, and it really pressed into service general aviation and the folks that helped protect our borders against illegal aliens and helped look for Nazi subs and Japanese subs off our coasts.
Well, there actually were people in Sioux Falls back in World War II looking at airplanes to make sure they could identify what it was and that
sure.
type of thing.
Sure, air raid wardens.
Yes.
And that was also Civil Air Patrol started in the Office of Civil Defense, along with Civil Defense and the air raid wardens and that whole system that you and I grew up with in the Cold War.
Yeah, we remember the civil defense shelters. I think there was one at Washington High School, the Pavilion now.
Mm-hmm.
And the old court, any of the old court site buildings were civil defense bomb shelters.
I wonder if there still aren't some big barrels of petroleum jelly beans and biscuits down there with some moldy water.
That would be interesting to find out. Well, Rick, I guess, first of all, you've been in this for how many years?
Oh. Almost 40.
What do you recommend to some kid in high school that would like to say, I'd like to be one of those firemen in the sky, Civil Air Patrol type?
Well, I think start early and go often. That's what I think is that if I had a nickel for every person that said, I want to be a pilot. Yeah, okay, well, what are you doing to become one? You don't just wish your way into it. Take some action. Go to a Civil Air Patrol meeting from age 12 on up. It's never too early to start planning for that. And if you want to become a Civil Air Patrol cadet, look up GoCivilAirPatrol.com, see what you think. Again, I got to start flying when I was 12 years old, so it's been I actually got my pilot's license before my driver's license, and I don't know if I'm a very excellent driver right now anyway, but as far as flying, it's like an extension of yourself. As far as adult members, you don't have to have had military experience. We take all skill sets, whether you're in IT, whether you're in medical. I mean, we've got the full gamut in Civil Air Patrol. What we need is your time, your attention, and your skill sets to come be the heroes in the American homeland skies.
You can actually learn how to fly an airplane by being in the Civil Air Patrol.
As cadets, yes. Cadets. As adult members, no. But we need non-rated air crew to be observers and scanners and airborne photographers.
Your maintenance has to be professional, though. That's probably
the maintenance hired. Again is conducted like any small aircraft would under federal aviation regulation. So we don't do our own maintenance. We have that contracted because the Air Force does own the fleet of 550 aircraft.
Well, how often do you get that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, you know, sometimes there's something to that saying about things happen in sets of threes. So, again, the one I talked to you about when Sheriff called us and made us aware of those missing teens in that blizzard, that was literally a 3 a.m. phone call. So it's being ready. It's being prepared. And when that phone call comes, you know, there's going to be a small bit of adrenaline anyway, but your training has to take over.
A missing airplane, that's more often than people think, isn't it?
It is, and some, you know, most of the times they're false alerts, but we treat every missing aircraft, overdue aircraft, or emergency locator transmitter signal report as the real deal.
Well, I can remember Cliff Boss hunting fox out of his airplane. He used to have a farm just east of town, and
yep.
he would be flying pretty low sometimes. Joe Foss was our ace in the Navy back in World War II. That's his statue out at the airport.
Oh, if you ever said that Joe Foss was in the Navy, his ghost will come here and have his way with you. He was a Marine Corps guy.
Well, the Marine Corps and the Navy back
right,
in World
right.
War II were hand in hand, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was Navy bases that the Marines always went through.
That's correct. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. We do have quite a history. In fact, I think Lindbergh visited Sioux Falls back in the day. And
I think either at Sioux Skyways or up by Renner, because I believe Joe Foss said in one of his books that was a huge inspiration for him.
Actually, back then, in what I've heard and has been documented, I think, in other sources, it was the Renner Airport, but they said 10,000 people came to see him at that airport. And back in that day, 10,000 people is almost like 50,000 people today, you know.
That's just like another Friday night for John Michael's mobile DJ machine, right? 10,000 people in an inflatable thing that flips around. Anyway, there's a big aviation heritage
yes.
here. As a matter of fact, Joe L. Floyd was one of the wing commanders of Civil Air Patrol back in the day, one of the original founders of the Kello broadcast background. So
he was very proud of his, was it Kingfish? He had one of those prop planes that you could turn the props and back the plane up.
Really?
He was very proud of his airplane that he had for Kello. We used to go to the state fair on it every year. Yeah, there's a lot of stories about the pilots, the Kello pilots that we had at, back in those days.
Sure. So, again, Joe Floyd did it. A lot of outstanding folks, whether they're surgeons or whether they're door-to-door salesmen, whether they're students at Augie, whether they're students at Lincoln, Roosevelt, or Washington, O'Gorman, folks out of every walk of life, military and non-military, and we'd sure love to have you in Civil Air Patrol.
When do you meet and where?
In Sioux Falls, the squadron meets on Thursday evenings at what was Business Aviation. It's on the Landmark Aviation Campus now, which is just off North Minnesota. So take a left before you go up to the Benson Road turnoff and see the big white golf ball. Take a left before that at what used to be the flight school. Head straight back and take a left.
And if there's any emergency going on in the Sioux Falls area, we can almost be sure that somebody from Civil Air Patrol knows about it and is probably participating in one way or another, as you do always.
Emergencies and non-emergencies alike, such as the Mayor's 4th of July parade that just happened a couple days ago. So, you know, CAP likes to be involved in the community, in the state, and in the nation, John.
Well, again, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Larson, Wing Vice Commander, Civil Air Patrol, something that... if you'd like more information about, just Google it and go to one of their meetings. I want to thank you for being with us on Forum. This has been program week 1896 of John Michael's Forum since 1977. If you'd like to be on Forum, you can contact me, John Michael's Public Affairs Radio Director at this station. This has been a community-involved program of this station. You can also download this program at the station's website under podcast. I'm John Michael's. Again, thank you for listening.